morning. Hope everybody had yourself a very Merry Christmas and looking forward to a Happy New Year. I know some of the folks I've spoken with have said, yeah, I'm ready for a little bit of a different 2022. So one of the fellows that I saw said, yeah, I said, but you got to be careful how you say that because 2022 could sound like 2020. Two, meaning also, so we got to be careful about that. But nonetheless, we're happy that that you have chosen to be in the house of the Lord with us today. We look forward to the time to be able to worship together as we close out a new year and begin to head into another year that God has planned for us as He gives us those times and opportunities. We've said this so many times. God knows what's going on. Nothing's taken Him by surprise. He has a plan for each and everything. And we just need to seek Him and walk with Him and wait and see what God's going to do in an incredible way. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin this morning. Father, as we come to You, we're grateful and we thank You so much just for the chance and the opportunity to gather together in Your name. We thank You so much for the birth of Your only Son and our Savior that we have just come through celebrating. But Lord, I pray that we will continue to celebrate the birth of Christ each and every day that You give us life. Father, what a privilege it is to know that You truly call us by name. Today, Lord, we pray that You will help us to fix our hearts and our minds upon You. Help us, Lord, to put any distractions aside that may hinder us from hearing the Holy Spirit's leadership and guidance within our lives. Draw us close, Lord, as we close out this year and prepare to head into a brand new, fresh new year. I pray that You will, Lord, just give us new heart, give us new vision, clean us, Lord, cleanse us and draw us close to You. But Father, help us today to hear Your voice, that we will go away with our hearts and lives being changed forever because we've been in Your presence today. Help us, Father, to love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ and to carry Your word to a lost and dying world. And Lord, we count on You for all these things as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The year, so today we're going to have one more for the season. Good Christian men, rejoice. If you'll stand with me as we sing 96, number 96.
Good Christian men, rejoice with heart and soul and Christ is born today. Man and
Isn't that a blessing and a privilege to know that He does know me by name? He hears me when I call. You know, today is it's a special day in a lot of ways. It's a privilege to be able to have the opportunity. As you looked up here, I just my heart smiled because many of you know, some of you maybe as part of our online audience maybe don't know, but John Kreider was with us for many years before his home going here, and did music at Central Baptist Church. And today is a pretty special day, because pretty much everybody you saw on the stage is part of what we call Nancy's crew. And I know that today her heart smiles, and because today this is Nancy's crew, you know, as well. This is Nancy's daughter from Pennsylvania, and her husband, and well, let's see, it's Vicky and Tim and Jake from Pennsylvania. We won't just call you Nancy's kids, but then we'll do that the other way around as well. So you're going to get a chance to hear and see them today. What a privilege it is that we have the opportunity that as they come home to see Mom for Christmas, the legacy that was built in family continues on. They love the Lord, they worship Him, and we're blessed to have them with us today to share their talents and their abilities to serve the Lord, because that's what it's all about. This is the Boer family.
Will you turn him down or let him in? the day when Jesus comes again. We'll sing hallelujah at the top of our lungs. We'll fall on our knees before the Father's pure Son. His kingdom comes to earth the moment heaven returns. When all believe and we will bow before Him, as the angels sing, oh come let us adore Him. Just like Christmas Eve in Bethlehem, that's our Christmas Eve in Bethlehem.
As a family, we used to go and do some Crater family concerts back in the day, and we traveled around mostly Western Pennsylvania, some Ohio, some West Virginia, and we would sing as a family, and it has come full circle. I have a 13-year-old that's bigger than I am and loves to sing for the Lord, and it's such a privilege and an honor to be able to sing with him and my husband. I have another song for you called Be Born in Me. It's the story that Mary probably went through as she looked forward to giving birth to the Christ child. Everything inside me cries for order. Everything inside me wants to hide. Is the shadow an angel or a warrior? If God is pleased with me, why am I so terrified? Someone tell me I am only dreaming. Somehow help me see with heaven's eyes. And before my head agrees, my heart is on its knees. Holy is He, blessed am I, be born for my arms. Did you wrap yourself inside the unexpected so we might know that love would go that far? Be born in me. Be born. Somehow I believe that You chose me. I'll hold You in the beginning. You will hold me in the end. Every moment in the middle, make my heart Your Bethlehem. Be born in me. I'm just a girl. I'll never be
be born in me. Be born in me.
Man, what a message and song. Be born in Bethlehem. Let your heart be Bethlehem. Thank you, Vicki. We appreciate you sharing with us as well as the whole family when you have the opportunities to be with us. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, this morning to, once again, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. You know, we have talked about, discovered, and looked at many of the characters that deal with Christmas as we lead into this time of Christmas. But yeah, I think that there's a character that we too often overlook. You know, we're kind of on the back side of Christmas. You know, all the presents have been unwrapped. The families have in a lot of cases maybe headed back towards home. But at times there's a sense of a letdown that we tend to have as far as that goes. You know, it's like, okay, it's over for the year. I know sometimes people go, well, thank the Lord, you know, because we get so caught up in a frenzy. But yet when we consider the characters, there's one that we read about in Luke chapter 2 that gets overlooked so often. You know, we talk about Mary, we talk about Joseph, we talk about the journey, we talk about the shepherds, we talk about the kings, and they are important players as well. But there's a character that we tend to kind of leave out. We don't preach on him much. And that's this fella called Simeon. How many of y'all know who I'm talking about? You know, and you know his story. But I want us to take a moment to view him, because Simeon arrives in our story. Actually, it's still in the same passage of Luke chapter 2, but it's after Christ is born. It's after the angels, you know, have appeared to the shepherds, and the shepherds made their way and they gathered around Jesus. It was after the multitude of the heavenly host sang forth. Now, I say that it wasn't after the wise men, because we talked about that too. Remember, they came along later on when he was in the house, but yet Simeon was there at a critical time, not right at the birth, but right after the birth, and it was a very exciting time for him. Let's look at the passage that mentions Simeon. It's Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. We're going to begin reading at verse 25. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning with verse 25. It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the customs of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.' And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.'" Let's pray together. Father, as we come around your word today, we're so grateful for salvation. We are so grateful for Jesus. And Lord, I pray that we haven't gotten to the point in our lives where we're not awestruck anymore about the Savior. Lord, there are so many things, there's so much busyness in our lives and so many things going on and taking place that at times it can crowd out the Savior. Lord, present us once again with a sense of awe. And as Vicky sang a moment ago, may our heart be your Bethlehem. May you be born in us. May you live in us and may you strive within us that others might see you. Father, today, help us for these few moments to gather around your word and to hear from you in a very special way. Lord, today, may you change our hearts and may you change our minds and may we refocus that we see clearly what you would have for us to do. Father, for these few moments, I pray that you and you alone truly would be exalted and lifted up through this your servant as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we consider these passages about Simeon, there were some characteristics and there were some qualities of this guy that are spot on. So the things that you'd sit back and you'd say, boy, I wish I could pattern myself after him. I wish that I could have what it was that he had. You see, Simeon was one of those guys that many Bible scholars believe that he was a priest, although we don't know. There's a lot of things we don't know about Simeon other than what we read about in this particular passage of Luke chapter 2. But there are some things that particularly in the first couple verses, that we can learn about him in a very special way. Notice what it says there in that verse 25. It says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout. It's starting to give a description of who he was. Now, when the Bible says you're just and devout, I think that's pretty good, don't you? Yeah, that speaks highly about who Simeon was. And although he may have been an obscure character back in his day, we're still reading about him over 2,000 years later. And the description given of him was that he was what? Go back and look at it again. That he was devout and just. Yeah, I want you to consider this for a moment. What does it mean to be devout? What does that word really mean? Yeah, in today's society, that's something that's hard to find, isn't it? It's difficult to find somebody that is devout about something, whatever that case may be. But he was just. He was a just man, and he was devoted. He was sincerely devoted to God. Now, you have to remember the time and the things that were taking place. This was, the birth of Christ was happening at that point. Now, often what we do is we can delineate Old Testament days between New Testament days. We have to remember that even as we gathered this past week and observed the Lord's Supper, when he took the cup with his disciples, he said this. He said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Things were getting ready to change spiritually, and let's just call it religiously. Those were things that were getting ready to change because of the birth of Christ. Those were things that would culminate with his death and his resurrection. So a very exciting time throughout all of Christianity was taking place. And yet before Simeon ever heard or saw Jesus, he was strictly devoted to his father. Simeon was that guy who would read the scriptures and get excited. Let me ask you a question. When is the last time you got excited about the scriptures? When is the last time that it just moved you to a point and to a place that you were just so anxiously excited about what God was going to do? Like reading a book. Have you ever gotten into a good book that you couldn't put down? How many of y'all have ever done that? You started reading a book and you're like, well, I'll just read a couple of chapters and see what it's like. And you've heard the thing, I just couldn't put it down. You were hanging on every ounce of everything that was going on, and you didn't want to quit because you wanted to know what was going to happen next. Well, Simeon was that guy. Simeon knew God. He was just. He was devoted, and he knew that there had been a prophesied Messiah that was coming. He knew. He had heard from God. God had spoken, you know, to him and said, you are, matter of fact, he said, Simeon, you're going to be able to see Jesus before you leave this world. Could you imagine how exciting that must have been for him? He was sitting there going, me? I'm actually going to get to see the Savior? Wow. I've said it so many times before, I could even say that backwards. Wow. So Simeon was excited about this. Could you imagine what it must have been like when he heard the news of the birth of the Savior? So he was a just man. He was a devout man. He was a man who was looking for the Messiah. Did you get that? He was looking for the Messiah. Today, here we are some 2,000 years later. People have anticipated Jesus' return for many, many years. And I think that what's happened is we have gotten so comfortable where we are that we're not looking for that anymore. I don't think that a lot of us got up today and said, you know what, today could be the day. Is my heart right? Am I ready? Am I prepared to be able to come into the presence of the Savior in this very moment? Is there business I need to do with him? Are there things that I need to get straight? Are there unconfessed sins in my life that I need to give over to him? Is there something that I need to do in light of repentance to be able to sense and feel and know the peace of the Savior? Did you do that this morning? Did you do that today? Or did you sit back and put Jesus on the back burner again? You know what? I think we've gotten really good at being religious, but I think we're having some trouble being a good Christian. Does that make sense? You see, what happens is we can go through the motions. We can show up in church. We can even carry our giant print Bible. We can sing praises. But let me tell you something. If it hasn't gone from your head to your heart, it's changed absolutely nothing. If it's not something that we anxiously anticipate, I've said this many times. When I came to Jesus, there was this sense of excitement, and I don't ever want to get over that. I don't ever want to get past the excitement that the Savior provides. And yet we tout faith that's really circumstantial. We've talked about that for so many years around here. How we feel about Jesus ebbs and flows based on whether or not our life seems to be going well. And when things take a turn for the worse or they get bad, we wonder where God is. Well, let me tell you where he is. If you want the answer to that, I can give it to you today. He is right in the middle of your situation. The question is, are you looking for him? The question is, are you allowing him to work in the situation in your life? Are you allowing him to draw you close to him? Are you allowing him to have this perfect plan? And the only way you're ever going to know that is for you to be like Simeon, to be a just person, to be a devout, a devoted person. How much have we walked away from God today? The Lord says, I want you to do this. Well, Lord, I'll do it if I have time. That's wrong answer. Yeah, because here's what I've learned. I've learned that God can allow you all the time that you need to accomplish his will. I've seen God make busy schedules get the calendar wiped completely clean, just like that. And by the way, he'll do that because he loves you so much that he wants to bring you back to him. He was a just man, Simeon was. He was a devout man. He was devoted. He was a man who was looking for the Messiah. I'll jump up and down. Today, are we looking for the Messiah? And some of y'all are going, well, you know what? I've already got him. I've got him in my heart. My heart is that Bethlehem. Are you looking for him? How many times have we, been caught unaware? Some of you may have had that even through this particular Christmas season. I've said it before. Somebody calls a loved one, a friend, or whatever. Oh, look, I'm in the neighborhood. I'm about 10 minutes out. I thought we'd stop by and see you. It's after Christmas. All your dishes are still piled up in the sink. There's Christmas wrap still laying all over the place. The place looks like a tornado hit it. And all God's people said, amen. And you say, well, we would love to see you. Come on by. With all the smile in your face, there's fear in your eye, but... And you say, we'll see you in a few minutes. And you hang up the phone and you're like, family meeting, quick, 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 quick. Listen, you get all the trash picked up, shove it in a bag, stick this stuff in the closet, tuck all this, hide that. Listen, run it upstairs. Hide it in some place that nobody's going to see. Because the company is going to be here in 10 minutes. So chop, chop, we don't have time. Turn that TV off. Put that thing down. Light some candles. And then, man, everybody is sitting there going, and the doorbell rings, and you go over and go, well, come on in. Come on in. Excuse the place. It's a mess. That place looks better than it's looked in 2 months. Excuse the mess. Excuse the mess. You see, folks, we need to be looking for the company. We need to be looking to Jesus. That's what Simeon did. He was looking for the Messiah. Today we have arrived at his house. But here's the real question. Did you come looking for the Messiah? Or did you come because, well, it's Christmas and we're a spiritual family and that's what we do? See, sometimes we can get so habitual with things that we completely miss what God is doing. Whether you are on the mountaintop in your experience, God's doing something. Or whether you are in the valley below, God is doing something. Are we looking for the Messiah like Simeon was? Simeon was also a man who was led by the Holy Spirit. Did you get that passage? Let's go back there at verses 25, 26 again. It says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit was leading him. The Holy Spirit was guiding him. And it says that he was waiting on the consolation of Jerusalem. He was waiting to see the Lord come in, and he was waiting to see the changes. He was waiting to see what the Savior had in store because he was devout. He studied him. He knew that there would be a Savior that would be born. And by the way, Simeon was not the only guy who knew that, was he? We've often talked about Herod, King Herod's wise men who knew all the biblical answers. When the wise men showed up, they knew the answers. Herod asked, where's this king going to be born? He's going to be born in Bethlehem, just down the road. They knew this, yet they never sought him. Folks, we can have so much head knowledge, but if it doesn't trickle down to the heart, and if it doesn't change us, and if Jesus doesn't change us, then what's the point? What is the point? See, he was led by the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit leading you today, or are you guessing at it? Is the Holy Spirit the one who is giving you the direction in your life? The decisions that need to be made? The ways in which you need to go? Is the Holy Spirit truly being your guide? You know, see, we like to sit back and say, I got this, I'm in control, I've got it, no problem. Lord, appreciate it. If I need your help, I'll call on you. That sounds silly sitting in church, don't it? But is it not what we do? Lord, I got it. I'm going to do it my way. And the Lord goes, go ahead. Because let me tell you this. You're going to fall, crash, burn, slip, trip, and everything else when you do it your way. The Lord will sit there and watch you. Okay, go ahead, do it your way. And then we sit back like, what happened? That's not the way I was going to have you go. We dust ourselves off stubbornly once again and say, I got this. And God says, okay. How many times do you have to fall down that set of steps? And the Lord picks you back up, dusts you off again. He goes, let's not go that way. There's a better way. There's a safer way. It's a little bit longer, but you'll get there, minus the cuts and bruises and abrasions and everything else that goes along with it. How about doing it my way? He was a Spirit-led man. And he was also a man who was given an extremely unusual promise. Now, we've said this before. You can always take God's promises to the bank. Look with me at verse 26. It said, and it had been revealed to him, by the Spirit that is, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Could you imagine how cool that was? I'm going to use that terminology for him. Here's a guy who was so excited about Jesus. He was so excited about the promises that had been made for thousands of years of a coming Messiah. And I could picture Simeon just praying. And calling upon God. It says that the Spirit was with him, and he's sitting there going, man, that's going to be a cool thing. And then, because of who he was, because of his close relationship, because of his walk, God says, hey, I'm going to let you in on a little secret, Simeon. It's going to happen in your lifetime. It's going to happen before you physically die. Jesus will be born. Jesus will come on the scene. I could have imagined what it must have been like to have been Simeon. Simeon's going, really? Man, that is so cool. You mean I'm going to get to see him with my own two eyes? God says, that's right. You get to see him. And Simeon's going, wow, what did I do to deserve this? This is going to be so cool. Now listen, we don't know what the time span between when Simeon was told that and the birth of Christ. We don't know. It could have been, 40, 50 years. We don't know. All we know is that Simeon held on to the promise that God had made that said, you are going to have a chance to see the Messiah. You are going to have a chance to see the one who truly is the source of peace. We read that in the Scriptures. We talk about the peace that passes all understanding. He says to Simeon, you will be the one who will get to see my son, the one who is appointed to be God's salvation for all of mankind. Simeon, you're going to have the opportunity to see the one that was prepared for the people. Yeah, you're going to be the one to get to see the light to those who are unbelievers, the light of salvation to all of mankind, the glory of God to the believers. You're going to get to see him. Boy, that's an introduction. Could you imagine the introduction that Simeon was getting? Simeon, today your prize is you're going to get to meet the master of the universe, the one who will rise from the dead, the one who will save his people from their sins, the one that will be the peace that passes all understanding, the one who will walk on water, the one that will deliver people from sins. And here he is, Jesus Christ. Simeon was going, this is going to be great. This is going to be wonderful. This is going to be so, so perfect. Now, as we get down in those passages, it says this. Verse 27 says, and so he came by the Spirit unto the temple. That's kind of interesting when you think about it. Where did he go? He went to church. Yeah. Yeah, doesn't say that necessarily, somebody told him that was where he was going to run into Mary and Joseph and Jesus. But we know that the Scripture says that in keeping with the custom, they were taking Jesus, Mary and Joseph, were taking Jesus to the temple to present him, okay? Simeon arrives. Simeon's browsing around the temple, and he runs in to Joseph and Mary and Jesus. Could you imagine what that meeting was like? Have you ever been kind of starstruck? You know what I mean? Somebody that for whatever reason, you know, you really wanted to meet, whether it was a famous person or what have you, and then you kind of get in their midst and you're like, please. Yeah, you just can't believe you're there. Or if they talk to you, you know, you walk away saying, well, I said something stupid. I had my moment, but it had come and gone. Simeon is in the presence of Jesus. He sees Joseph and Mary. Go back, verse 26. It says, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the customs of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God, and then he said something. But picture this for a moment. As excited as Simeon was, he's like, there he is. That's Jesus. It says that he took him up in his arms. Now, I want you to think for just a moment what that moment must have been like for Simeon. This is the Jesus that had been long prophesied. This is the Jesus that people had been waiting centuries for. This is the Jesus that Simeon had gotten the good news that he would see before he died. So now he gets to hold him. Could you imagine what that must have been like? It was like, and I could imagine how he took him and maybe just held him really, really close. And he was sitting there saying, this is the guy that I have dedicated my life to. This is the precious one that will live a sinless life. This is the one who will die for the sins, not only of myself, but all of mankind. And I'm getting to hold him. You know, we never hear about the shepherds sitting there passing him around when they arrived. They looked at him in awe. We never heard about the, you know, Mary didn't say, here, hold him a little while you're here. You know. But Simeon, on the other hand, it says in the passages that he took Jesus up. Could you imagine what that moment would have been like? Listen, if you could bundle up the Savior today and hold on to him, what would that be like? What would that do to your heart? What would that do to your life as you hold him and you say, Lord, you know what? I'm not exactly on a spiritual mountaintop right now. I'm in a valley below. But boy, I tell you one thing. Just holding you close changes my life. Gives me hope. Gives me peace. Maybe you're on the spiritual mountaintop and you hold Jesus close and say, wow, what a privilege, what an experience. Can you imagine that? You know, if we could just have him wrapped up and pass him around here today, could you imagine what that'd be like? Oh, well, guess what? We can. Jesus is within our heart. He can be held close. He can be held near and dear, just as Simeon did. Then he said this, as he took him up in his arms, it says, and he blessed God and said this, verse 29, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and of the glory of your people Israel. You know what he basically said? Lord, I can die in peace now. I've seen him. I've had a chance. Listen, I believed him before, and you know that, God. You know I believed in him, but how cool is it to get to touch him? How cool is it to get to hold him? How cool is this? You told me before I died, I was going to get to see him. And now I'm holding him. I can go in peace. I can go in peace. Can you go in peace today? Have you embraced the newborn king? Have you embraced the child from Bethlehem who went 33 sinless years in life, who went to Calvary's cross, never laying down his deity, who went into a borrowed tomb for 3 days, but on the third day came out victoriously. The same Jesus who has ascended back to the right hand of the Father, who makes intercession for you and I. Listen, you need to run to Him and you need to hug Him. You need to hold Him. You need to draw Him near. But you see, part of being able to do that is to follow Jesus. To be like Simeon was described. To be a just person. To be a holy person. To be one who is anticipating the coming of the Savior. You see, he goes on and says a few words to Mary and Joseph. He said, this child will cause the rise and the fall of many people. That's what he said. Cause the rise and the fall. How would that happen? You see, folks, the thing about it is there's many people who trip over Jesus today. See, when you trip over something, generally you fall. But when you trip over something, it's usually because it's right in your path, isn't it? Some of y'all say, well, I can trip over things that aren't in my path. But you know what I'm talking about. Usually it's something right in your way. You know, I think there's a spiritual truth in that. There's not a soul on the face of this planet that will not have an opportunity to see Jesus for who He is and have the opportunity to come to know Him and to have an opportunity to accept Him. And if you don't, then you're just going to trip and fall right over Him. You're not going to be able to say, well, Jesus, I didn't know. He's going to say, yeah, you did. You tripped over me 53 times in life. So there are going to be people today that are going to trip over him at the end of a church invitation. Because there he was. He was right here. He was knocking on that heart's door. And you're going to slip, trip, and fall because your belly's growling. You're going to slip and trip because you got to beat the Methodist to the good eating places. You're going to let the conviction go away because you don't want somebody to say something about you. You're going to look at the time. Listen, Satan will tell you, look, I tell you, these people right here want to get on out of here. They did their duty. They came at Christmas and they want to get moving. And if you go down there and talk to the preacher, Lord help us, that invitation is going to go another few verses. You're just going to stretch this on out. Don't do this to people. You love these people. Boy, Satan's cruel, isn't he? Isn't that what he does? I've seen it before, man. I've seen tears coming out of people's eyes. I said that's when God reaches down and gets your heart and he squeezes it until water comes out of your eyes. And I've seen people sit there through it and never make a move toward Jesus because of what somebody else would say, what somebody else would think. I'm holding somebody up. I'll take care of it later. I'll do it tomorrow. You know what the bad thing about tomorrow is? Tomorrow never comes, does it? Because by the time it gets here, it's today. It's no longer tomorrow. Let me tell you something. Jesus is passing through. Are you going to trip over him? Are you going to fall over him? Simeon said, you know, he's going to cause many to not only fall, but he'll cause many to rise. Those who trust him, those who receive him, those who accept him, will rise to great heights spiritually. Listen, that's not prosperity theology. That's not talking about your bank accounts, your jobs, or anything that you see right here. It's about what happens for eternity's sake. He says, all many will rise in the name of Jesus. But the bottom line is you are going to do one of two things. You are either going to trip over him or you're going to rise with him. But you're going to have an encounter with Jesus somewhere, some way. You know what? I'm praying that it's today. I'm praying that in regard to salvation, that you don't trip and fall and skin up your elbows in the front of your nose. Don't trip over him today without receiving him. May he lift you up. Have you trusted Jesus? Simeon goes on to basically share with Mary and Joseph that Jesus' fate was sealed. What was his fate? His fate was to be opposed and to be put to death. Oh, by the way, Mary, that sweet little baby I'm holding in love, oh, he's going to die. He's going to be sacrificed. I'm sure you probably know all that. That don't sound like the bearer of good news, does it? But yet it was the truth. His fate was to be opposed and put to death, and his purpose, though, was to reveal the inner thoughts of man's heart. He knows you. Oh, if you know him, he knows you by name. That's what he calls me. He doesn't say, hey, you. Sometimes he calls me Mercy. Oh, Mercy. But he knows me by name. Can you say that you know the Master by name and he knows you by name? Have you been like this fella, Simeon? He showed up after all the big announcements. He was looking for Jesus, found him in the temple, and he's like, yeah, I don't know whether, the scripture doesn't tell us. Maybe he said, can I hold him? Maybe Mary said, would you like to hold him? I don't know. But I know he did hold him. He bundled him up, and he said, wow, everything that I have lived for, I hold in my hands. Through all the havoc and mayhem, you know, maybe that's you today. Maybe it's time that you held Jesus and said, you know, it really is worth everything. The persecution, the ridicule, it's worth it. Because I have peace in my heart. Simeon said, Lord, now I can come on home peaceably. I can picture Simeon going and being that guy that said, Lord, you promised. You promised. You told me I'd get to see him. And then I can imagine the excitement that took place. The excitement that filled his soul when he held Jesus. And now he said, I'm good. I can go home happy. So I read that. I thought about Simeon. I thought about Mark. Yep. I thought about Mark going to the beach this year. And when he went to Benjamin's, he could go home happy. He said, if there's anything else, I'm going to go there. I'm going to get my seafood plate. I can go home happy. Have you held Jesus? I'm going to ask our musicians if they would to take their place for our time of invitation. By the way, an invitation is that of the Lord. Listen, remember what I said a minute ago. You're going to do one of two things here in just a moment. You're either going to trip over him or you're going to embrace him. Because I can promise you he's here. I can promise you that he's being passed through. Today I'm asking you, did you take the opportunity as Simeon did to embrace Jesus? To look upon the salvation that is our Savior. To say, Lord, thank you. We have celebrated your birth, but now we want to celebrate your life and eternal life that will come through you. Listen, we try not to make it complicated. Have you trusted him? Have you said in your life, Lord, I realize I am a sinner. Because of my sin, I need a Savior, and you're it. You lived that sinless life. You took my sin to Calvary's cross. So today, Father, I'm going to live for you. I'm done trying to do it my way. My way doesn't work, and your way never will work, by the way. So, Lord, today, I surrender. I surrender to you. Help me, Father, to live for you. Have you done that? Listen, you can pray that right where you are. If you're part of our online audience today, you can ask Jesus, Lord, come into my heart and save my soul. And he will. He knows you're not a professional at prayer yet, if you're not a believer. But, boy, he hears that prayer. It's not about all this stuff that we think it is. I almost hate the word religion because Christianity is different than religion. It's about a relationship with Christ. In fact, sometimes I think religion makes Christianity look bad. Sometimes I think Christians make Christianity look bad. And you know why? Because we're not behaving like we're supposed to and like what the Word tells us to. Oh, and by the way, we're going to answer for that, every last one of us. How we treated, how we loved, how we did, how we reached out, how we were his hands and his feet, or not. Have you trusted Christ today? Maybe you're here today and you're like, you know what, I have just been so on the go. Yeah, I've trusted him, but I haven't been walking with him. No, I haven't really been anticipating him. All I've been anticipating is, you know, getting to work on time, getting home, making sure the bills are paid. I've been sucked up by this thing called life in the world. This COVID thing's got us all going in different directions. There's a new normal, but it's ironic that the new normal seems to be new every day, because even tomorrow's not going to be like today was. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? I think God has picked up the snow globe of our life and went, and everything's floating around. You know why? Because I think sometimes he just wants us to call on him because we don't have any other choice. Maybe he's getting our attention today. My prayer is that today, particularly as a believer, you can be like Simeon and you can hold the Christ child in your arms and say, Lord, I can go in peace now. I've seen your salvation. And nothing can change that. Not circumstances, nothing. You are my God, and I am your child. And if the world falls apart around me, so be it. The most important thing is for me to walk with you and talk with you and let you tell me I am your own and vice versa. Let's get it right. You want to see something great for the new year? That's how it happens. Get it right with Jesus. During our time of invitation, it's just a time when we let you spend that moment doing business with God. If you need me, I am here. If you need this altar, it's here. We still believe in a good old-fashioned altar call around this place. Nothing wrong with that, is it? There it is. Whatever you need to do. I'm going to ask that you do that as we stand and in an attitude of prayer as we sing our invitation hymn together. Heads are bowed, as your eyes are closed, as you continue to do business with God, are you tripping over him right now? Are you going to accept him? Are you going to fall down, or is he going to lift you up? The choice is yours and yours alone, but I'll make you the promise. Jesus is here, and he's simply calling. What will you do with his calling? This time, as you continue to seek God in prayer, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way to the front as we receive the Lord's tithe and our offering. As we get to this time to give back the Lord's tithe and our offering to him, I do remind you that we are still taking our Lottie Moon offering for international missions. That 100% of that goes to our missionaries to keep them on the field. So if you are going to contribute to that, you can write Lottie Moon on one of those envelopes that's in the back of the pew. We will make sure that it gets there. And, of course, if there's anything else that you need, like I say, there are envelopes in the back, or we can make sure we get you one. I'm sure our ushers can fix you up with that, and we'll try to let you know what our Lottie Moon totals are next year. Can you believe that? We're getting ready to say that. But let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father God, you're good to us. We're grateful for each and every ounce of provision that you give in our lives. We're grateful, we're thankful, and Lord, help us to always remember that everything we have comes from you. It belongs to you. As your children, it belongs to you, and you asked us to be good stewards of what is rightfully yours. Help us, Father, to be faithful to return to you the tithe and the offering. And Lord, not that we might be blessed, but you make that promise, and you even say, try me. So, Father, right now, may we find blessing in our giving back to you as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Part of the Crider family. What a blessed privilege it's been today to have our music pretty much done by a family who's got roots here. The legacy lives on. Tim, Vicky, and Jake in from Pennsylvania, thank you for sharing. Jim and Amy, home folk, we always love to have the opportunity to hear you guys as you share your talents and abilities with us. And then, of course, you've heard from Doug and JD as well. That's the other one. So they're all serving the Lord in that regard, and what a privilege and a blessing that it is. Just a couple things just to let you know real quick. Birthdays this week, if you have a chance to send a text message, give a call, you see him up there, but Brent Lombardo, Tuesday, going to be getting another year older and a little deeper in debt, right? So wish Brent a happy birthday, as well as Nancy Young, Tuesday. Nancy's back there. I'm not going to say a word. I'm not going to get killed. Nancy's birthday's Tuesday. Thursday, Erica Twitty and Jeff Anderson. Then on Saturday, Madeline Swaney will be celebrating a birthday. And the anniversaries for this week, Joy and Jeff Pickard. So if you're a card sender, a text sender, a whatever sender, let them know that you're going to celebrate with them through this week. Just a couple things. We will not have evening worship services this evening. And we wish you a very, very happy and blessed new year. Be safe as you're out and about and going around and the going outs and coming forward. So we ask that that everybody just be careful. And we look forward to seeing you in the house of the Lord to worship again as God starts and gives us a new year together. Is there anything I've forgotten? All right, well, let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer, and we will look forward to seeing you guys in the new year. Father, we come to you now. We're thankful, and we're blessed. Lord, I pray that as we have looked at Simeon's life today, as we've looked at the testimony as recorded in your word, that we truly would wrap our arms around you, that we would embrace you, that we would be found being described as Simeon was, that we're just and that we're faithful, but Lord, most of all, that we're seeking you. Help us, Father, in all that we do to seek you, that you might truly bring us the salvation and the peace which passes all understanding. Father, as we go away from here today, we do so, Lord, with a joyous heart, but Lord, also our hearts are heavy for loved ones that we know that have gone on to be with you. I know they're rejoicing in heaven, but Father, we still miss them here on earth. So I pray that you will help us along the way. Father, for those families who are just going through some tough times of struggle right now, may you provide that peace that your word says that you'll give. We know we can claim that promise. Lord, as we go away from here, we pray that you'll keep us safe as we travel, and may we be a blessing in somebody's life that you'll bring us in contact with this week as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. We look forward to seeing you in the new year.